Good afternoon. On the update this Wednesday, crime really doesn't pay. 18 people have been indicted in connection to a litany of gang-related crimes, including racketeering, murder, drugs, firearms, and fraud offenses. They're accused of being part of the Untouchable Gorilla Stone Nation gang. We'll have the latest details. Rocking around the Christmas tree this year is going to look different for visitors, starting with the tree lighting ceremony this evening. While older New Yorkers and people with medical issues are being urged by city officials to limit the activities outside of their homes. The Mets reached their first agreement with a free agent since Steve Cohen bought the team, a deal with 31-year-old right-hander Trevor May, according to a person who's familiar with these negotiations telling the AP. And we're finally fighting back in the fight against the coronavirus. British officials have authorized a COVID vaccine for emergency use, greenlighting the world's first shot against the virus that's backed by rigorous science and taking a major step toward eventually ending the pandemic. This is the update, Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian.
And a very pleasant Wednesday to all of you. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update. Happy hump day to all of you at our home away from home, Empire Outlets. Rolling right along into the holiday season, and at least in here in the city, the holiday season gets started tonight with the lighting of the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. In case you're keeping score, we have, I believe, it is 23 days until Christmas and 29 days until New Year's Eve. Just had to do the rough math there quickly. wherever you may be, however you may be listening to us on this Wednesday, we appreciate you for doing so. Lots to catch you up on again, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin, however, with elections results. Even though the election was over a month ago, there are still some races that have not yet been certified. A final tally of the absentee ballots has now confirmed that Republican Nicole Malliotakis toppled first-term Representative Max Rose here in the city. Rose conceded the race on November 12th, but the Associated Press didn't declare Malliotakis the winner until yesterday because of a previous lack of information about a large number of absentee ballots cast in the race. Malliotakis defeated the Democrat in a congressional district that includes Staten Island and part of Brooklyn. Malliotakis has been a state assembly member since 2011. The 40-year-old ran against Rose on a platform that stressed support for law enforcement. On to some of the other news of this Wednesday. And we've learned that at least crime does not pay, or at least for these people. 18 people have now been indicted in connection to a litany of gang-related crimes, including racketeering, murder, drugs, firearms, and fraud offenses. They're accused of being part of the Untouchable Gorilla Stone Nation gang. One of those indicted was accused in connection with the September 21st killing of a minor. Authorities said that only 17 of the 18 are in custody. That's because the FBI's New York office issued a tweet saying that Caswell Sr., who raps under the name Casanova, is still being sought. The rapper, who is currently signed to Roc Nation, was indicted on charges of conspiracy to commit racketeering, conspiracy to distribute controlled substances, and firearms possession. Emails were sent to Roc Nation and the rapper's representative. We mentioned right off the top that the holiday season really doesn't start in New York City until the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree is lit, which will happen this evening. But it's going to look different for visitors this year, starting with, of course, tonight's tree lighting ceremony. What's normally a chaotic, crowded tourist hotspot during this season will instead be a mask-mandated, time-limited, socially distanced locale due to the pandemic. The tree is getting its holiday lights turned on an event that will be broadcast on TV, but it will be closed to the public. In the days following the lighting until the early part of January, those wishing to take a look at the tree will have to follow a host of rules. Meanwhile, with COVID hospitalizations continuing to climb, older New Yorkers and people with medical issues are being urged by city officials to limit the activities outside of their homes. Health Commissioner Dr. Dave Choksi joined Mayor de Blasio at his daily briefing to announce the advisory aimed at those most at risk from the virus. Hospitalizations have been rising for weeks with a seasonal surge in infections. Choksi said that hospitals in the city reported more than 1,100 COVID patients, twice as many compared to less than 3 weeks ago, and the highest number since early June. The former federal prosecutor in Manhattan, who led several investigations into President Trump's allies, has now been hired by a white shoe law firm here in New York. Freed Frank Harris Shriver and Jacobson said yesterday that Jeffrey S. Berman will provide criminal defense for the firm in white-collar cases and also work on complex commercial litigation. The job offers a soft landing for Berman, who, after an extraordinary standoff in June, was pushed out as U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. He had led the investigations into Trump's orbit, including one involving the business dealings of Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of the representatives of this city, was gaming for a good cause. She raised $240,000 for six organizations that provide services in her district over the weekend, and most of it coming in a five-hour live stream when she was playing an online game. Ocasio-Cortez played Among Us on a Twitch live stream with Jagmeet Singh, a member of parliament in Canada. During those 5 hours, her fundraiser brought in $208,000. It was the second time that Ocasio-Cortez has been a part of an Among Us live stream. Her district, the 14th, covers parts of Queens and the Bronx. Switching gears now, going up north to New Rochelle. Nurses that are seeking to resolve the stalled contract talks are now on strike at hospitals in New Rochelle and Albany. Nurses at Albany Medical Center Hospital began a 24-hour strike yesterday over their deadlocked contract negotiations, as well as complaints of inadequate coronavirus protocols. Nurses in New Rochelle, meanwhile, began a two-day strike against Montefiore New Rochelle Hospital, calling for a fair contract... a fair contract and more staffing. Hospital officials had condemned the job actions, but they've come amid rising COVID infections across the state. Governor Cuomo said on Monday that there are about 3,500 patients hospitalized for COVID statewide, up from only 900 in late June. A state judge has now ordered elections officials to preserve the records showing how they calculated the results of an extremely close congressional race in central New York after two counties reported errors or changes in vote tallies over the holiday weekend. Republican challenger Claudia Tenney said on Monday that she's taken a 13-vote lead over the Democratic incumbent Representative Anthony Brindisi in the 22nd congressional district race. State Supreme Court Justice Scott Del Conte ordered each county in the district to submit a final tally of all ballots by 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. The winner, though, won't be determined until Justice Del Conte rules next week on challenges to more than 2,000 disputed absentee and affidavit ballots. The annual publishing convention and trade show, it may be coming to an end. Book Expo is a decades-old tradition where guest speakers have ranged from Bill Clinton to Margaret Atwood. Reed Papa has managed Book Expo for a quarter century, but announced yesterday that it was dropping the event, along with the fan-based BookCon. As in other industries, publishers have long debated the necessity of holding the convention. Much of the business once conducted there has now moved online. And earlier this year, Book Expo and BookCon were held virtually because of the coronavirus, and the status for next year's was already in doubt. And finally, Thome and James Elliott, they're brothers, and they're also pizza makers from England. They've now written a book celebrating the worldwide phenomenon of roundish dough cooked with toppings. In the 270-page pizza, the brothers offer over 30 recipes for handmade pizzas and eating guides to delicious slices in cities like Rome, Paris, New York, and Chicago. The brothers include sections on controversial ingredients. Pineapple, that's you, of course. And what drinks to pair with a slice. They explore the various way that people can eat a slice of pizza, from rolling it into a cigar to a technique called the snag and drag. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a great book, like a great stocking stuffer. But those people that like pizza, like myself. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we have a few important messages to tell you about from the MTA. We're going to talk some sports and how the Mets have reached an agreement with a free agent for the first time since Steve Cohen bought the team, or as Mets fans call him, Uncle Steve. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how British officials have authorized a COVID vaccine for emergency use, greenlighting the world's first shot against the virus that's backed by rigorous science and taking a major step toward eventually ending the pandemic. We will address that and more when the update Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
A message to help keep you safe. If doctors told us today that we'd made a breakthrough on COVID-19, saving thousands of lives, we would rejoice. Finally, a good news day. We'd feel less afraid that our loved ones would be struck by the invisible enemy. We'd start to feel hope that we could live our lives again. Well, a mask does all that. We can help protect others by covering our noses and mouths, which is how the virus mainly spreads. Masks are a ticket to freedom, to be out in the world, to getting together, back to work, back to doing what we want. If doctors announced we could save lives today, we would grab that breakthrough with both hands. While we wait for a vaccine, grab the breakthrough that's already here. When we're out, it's masks on.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Of all the newscasters in New York, I just happen to be one of them. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies, it's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
This is a reminder for you to help stop the spread of COVID-19. When you ride the subway or bus, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth for your entire trip. It's the law and also a sign of respect to your fellow passengers. Thank you for keeping New York healthy. Fare collection and front door boarding also has resumed on buses. Please pay your fare with MetroCard, Omni, or Exact Change. Remember to wear a mask, and thanks for riding. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.75. Transfers must be requested upon payment of cash fare. On select bus service, pay at the kiosks outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $6.75. Coins are no longer accepted as payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Wednesday. And for the first time since he's taken over the team, the New York Mets have reached their first agreement with a free agent, a deal with 31-year-old right-hander Trevor May, according to a person who's familiar with these negotiations telling the AP. The person spoke on the condition of anonymity because the agreement is subject to a successful physical. May had a 3.86 ERA in 24 relief appearances for the Twins last season, striking out 38 and walking 7 in 23 and a third innings, while allowing 20 hits with a career-high fastball velocity averaging 96.66 miles per hour. May is 23 and 21 overall with a career ERA of 4.44 in his big league career. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we'll be talking about what happened on this day in history. And then we will be addressing the latest national news, including how nearly 37,000 people died of COVID in the U.S. this past just last month in November, the most since the early dark days of this pandemic. We will address that and more when the update with Brian and Julian returns after this message.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council. America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian. Paging common sense. Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is The Update with Brandon Julian.
Welcome back to the aforementioned Update with Brandon Julian on this Wednesday, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you so much. We all know we are rolling right along on this into the holiday season. If my math is correct from the top, we are 23 days away from Christmas. There we are. And we are 29 days away from New Year's Eve. Yes, I got it right. You know, with everybody holiday shopping and whatnot in this time of COVID, people may be wondering, what is a good gift that I can get from my significant other or spouse? Well, the governor, I believe it was yesterday, or was it earlier today? I forget. But Governor Cuomo held his briefing, and he was saying, like, you don't want something like a tie or a sweater. This is what he called, I think it was like a default gift. You don't really know what to get somebody, so you just get them like a tie or a sweater or whatnot. As my wife told me while I was getting, while I'm still shopping for her, she said, it is not offensive if you get somebody a gift card. Like a Google Play gift card or a gift card for a specific store. Because the one thing you don't want to do is to get the wrong thing for your significant other or spouse. And then you'll have to learn about the consequences the hard way. Why do we talk about what happened on this day in history for this December the 2nd? The highlight of this day came in 1982, when in the first operation of its kind, doctors at the University of Utah Medical Center implanted a permanent artificial heart in the chest of retired dentist Dr. Barney Clark, who lived 112 days with the device. In 1804, Napoleon crowned himself as the Emperor of the French. In 1816, the first savings bank in the United States, the Philadelphia Savings Fund Society, opened for business. In 1823, President James Monroe outlined his doctrine opposing European expansion in the Western Hemisphere. In 1859, militant abolitionist John Brown was hanged for his raid on Harper's Ferry the previous October. In 1942, an artificially created, self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction was demonstrated for the first time at the University of Chicago. In 1954, the U.S. Senate passed 67-22, a resolution condemning Senator Joseph R. McCarthy, the Republican from Wisconsin, saying he had, quote, acted contrary to senatorial ethics, intended to bring the Senate into dishonor and disrepute. In 1957, the Shippingport Atomic Power Station in Pennsylvania, the first full-scale commercial nuclear facility in the United States, began operations. The reactor ceased operating in 1982. In 1970, the newly created EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, opened its doors under its first director, William D. Ruckelshaus. In 1980, four American churchwomen were raped and murdered in El Salvador. Five National Guardsmen were convicted in the killings. In 1993, Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar was shot to death by security forces in Medellin. In 2000, Al Gore sought a recount in South Florida, where George W. Bush flatly asserted, "I'm the soon-to-be the president," and met with GOP congressional leaders. Also, actor Gail Fisher died in Culver City, California, at the age of 65. And in 2016, 36 people died when fire erupted in an illegally converted warehouse in Oakland, California, during a dance party. When we return on the update this Wednesday, we will be talking the latest national news, including how top Senate Republican Mitch McConnell, he says that he's sticking with his scaled-back COVID relief bill with the goal of passing a significant down payment during the lame duck session and then revisit the topic after the holidays. We will address that and more, of course, when the update with Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
From the streets of New York to wherever you are, The Update with Brandon Julian will be right back.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good? Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at Mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, everyone, on this Wednesday. Again, happy hump day to all of you out there. Let us dive right into the latest national news. We begin with progress on a COVID vaccine. British officials have authorized the vaccine for emergency use, greenlighting the world's first shot against the virus that's backed by rigorous science and taking a major step toward eventually ending the pandemic. The go-ahead today for the vaccine developed by American drug maker Pfizer and Germany's BioNTech comes as the virus surges again in the U.S. and Europe, putting the pressure on hospitals and morgues in some places and forcing new rounds of restrictions that have devastated economies. The Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency recommended the vaccine could be used after it reviewed the results of clinical trials that showed the vaccine was 95% effective overall, and that it also offered significant protection for older people. Meanwhile, nearly 37,000 people died of COVID in the U.S. in November. That's the most since the dark early days of the pandemic. It's engulfing again families in grief-filling newspaper obituary columns and testing again the capacity of morgues, funeral homes, and hospitals. States have begun reopening field hospitals to handle an influx of patients that is pushing healthcare systems and their workers to the breaking point. And hospitals are bringing in mobile morgues. And funerals are being live-streamed or performed as drive-by affairs. Health officials are fearing that the situation will be even worse in the coming weeks after many Americans ignored the pleas to stay home over the Thanksgiving holiday. In Washington, the top Senate Republican, Mitch McConnell, he says that he's sticking with his scaled-back COVID relief bill with the goal of passing a significant down payment during the lame duck session and then revisiting the topic next year. The Republican made the announcement after President-elect Biden called upon lawmakers to follow a similar path. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also resumed talks with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin about a year-end spending package that could include COVID relief provisions. Yet it's not clear, though, whether the flurry of activity will lead to actual progress. And the time is running out on the lame duck session and also Trump's presidency. And the Justice Department is now investigating a secret scheme to lobby White House officials for pardon, as well as a related plot to offer a hefty political contribution in exchange for clemency. That's according to a court document that was unsealed yesterday. Most of the information in the 18-page court order is redacted, including the identity of the people whom prosecutors are investigating and whom the proposed pardon might be intended for. But the document from August does reveal that people are suspected of having acted to secretly lobby White House officials to secure a pardon, and that, in a related scheme, a political contribution was floated in exchange for a pardon. There is more national news to talk about, and we will address that when the update of Brandon Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
He was the heart of your family, and he taught you our history. He helped you fix your first flat. He was the best backyard DJ around. And every time he'd tell a story, he'd own the room. But now more than ever, he may feel alone. Today, older adults and their loved ones are struggling to connect in a time when connection has never been more important. But there is something we can do. Embrace our older loved ones through StoryCorps Connect. With StoryCorps Connect, you can honor seniors remotely with an interview about their life. Every interview will be archived at the Library of Congress, becoming part of American history, so that years from now, future generations can listen in.
All right, Grandpa, what's one piece of advice you have for me?
Just three words, sweetheart. Live with courage.
The man that had the best stories still has plenty of stories to tell. So connect virtually and share the conversation of a lifetime at StoryCorpsConnect.org/AARP. Connect, honor, share. StoryCorps Connect. A message from AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the update of Brandon Julian, everyone. On this Wednesday, we are talking the latest national news. And shoppers who go to Walmart.com, or on Walmart.com if you shop there, who pay a $98 a year membership fee, who get free shipping on orders of any size starting on Friday. Walmart announced the membership perk today, doing away with the previous requirement that orders amount to at least $35 to qualify for free shipping. The perk comes 2 months after Walmart launched its membership service called Walmart Plus, which it hopes will compete with Amazon Prime's membership program. Walmart Plus shoppers will receive free next-day and two-day shipping on non-perishable items shipped by Walmart, no matter the purchase amount. The move builds on the retailer's pledge to continue adding benefits to its membership program, which also includes unlimited free grocery deliveries and fuel discounts. Down south in Atlanta, former Atlanta City Council member Kwanzaa Hall has now won a runoff election to briefly fill the seat in Congress of the late civil rights legend John Lewis. The 49-year-old Hall defeated former Morehouse College president Robert Franklin in yesterday's special election. Hall will serve in Congress until January 3rd from the Atlanta area district. Both Democrats led a field of 7 candidates in a September special election to replace Lewis, who died from cancer in July after 34 years in Congress. He was 80 years old. But Hall won't be Lewis's long-term replacement. No. State Senator Nikema Williams easily beat a Republican in November for a full 2-year term. And finally, an Alaska man has now been charged with 4 counts of first-degree murder in the deaths of his aunt and 3 cousins. Malachi Maxson is scheduled to be arraigned today in the shootings early Monday morning north of Anchorage. Charging documents filed yesterday in Palmer District Court say 2 of the cousins he killed were 7 and 10 years old. Maxson was also charged with first-degree attempted murder, theft, vehicle theft, assault, and attempted escape. A message seeking comment from the Public Defender Agency in Palmer wasn't immediately returned. And in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2020. That is the update on this Wednesday. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and please be well. And if you have not done your shopping, make sure you get your shopping done. Have a pleasant rest of your day, everyone. I'll see you right back here tomorrow.